What's up, fam? Welcome to Love Alive Church, the podcast, where we exist to help you find family, discover purpose, and change the world. Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. I hope that it's a blessing to you and your family. Let's go.
So I want to jump into this word today, and we wrestle not. And today I want to teach on knowing your enemy. Knowing your enemy. Know your enemy. It's important for you to understand who you're at or what you're actually fighting, because a lot of times we get into battle and we start warring against people, right? Instead of understanding that it's a strategy the enemy has planted. So I shared last week, in the first week that we were going into this on spiritual warfare, that Thursday before Sunday came, me and my wife had a little wrestling, amen. We warring against each other. You know, because spiritual warfare had launched, and now we going at it. And this, married couples, you know, you can speak to this. Have you noticed almost every time something amazing is in your life, something crazy happens? Like, even when you're about to go on date, I feel like every time we have a date night, like, there is a reason. You felt something on that, didn't you? Felt stirred up. Have you ever known? You're like, why are we arguing like this? We're about to go on a date. And so the enemy works the same way. When God is ready to do something incredible, the enemy starts to launch some of his biggest strategies and tactics to war against you. And so when the Lord began to speak to me and say that it was important for us to talk about spiritual warfare this month, I yielded, because I understand there's a reason God is preparing us. We had thought that we were going to deal with issues with your mind this month, and we're going to still deal with that. Well, hopefully we'll get to it next month. Amen, because we definitely need to get these minds right, right? Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, definitely you. Some of y'all feel good that you got that off your chest, huh? So we know we got to work on the minds. But the Holy Spirit said, I need you to teach on spiritual warfare. And I battled a little bit because I was like, well, I just taught on it in, I think, November. And God told me, he said, you need to teach the church about spiritual warfare every year. Yeah. Because we're in a battle every day. Yeah. And so sometimes we need a remedial course. Yeah. Some of you never heard it before, and some of you already forgot it, right? So we want to make some of y'all still trying to remember. Now, what he said last week? I think it was buying, girl, huh? But buying a loose or something, right? Go look at the live or listen to the podcast. Catch up, right? If you missed it, you need that knowledge, all right? This, a matter of fact, this is one I would say, make sure you take notes. You need this information so that you understand how to fight against the enemy. There's a war going on every single day, whether you recognize it or not. And one of the things that I began to sense in the atmosphere last night and then very heavily this morning, I felt the warfare. It was super intense. I can tell you, our team can tell you, when I came into morning huddle, I said, look, we got some warfare to do. And I knew that because the enemy was attacking me the way that he was. I knew that multiple people were being attacked. And I knew that if we didn't get on one accord to understand that we're all going through this, what the enemy would do is begin to get victory in the service, because we'll always be focused on our individual warfare and not realize that there's a collective strategy to come up against the whole service. And so then you come into an atmosphere that's hard and heavy because we ain't done our work to prepare for you. But rest assured, we worked in this place this morning. We walked through this room this morning. We prayed over every seat because we wanted the atmosphere to be as easy as possible before you got here. God and Satan are both fighting for your soul every day. Literally, every day you get out of bed, there is a war between heaven and hell on who's going to win. And the deciding factor is you. The deciding factor is you and how knowledgeable you are about the war and how well you are able to launch your strategy against the enemy. I hope some of you improved this last week and you didn't just get on social media as soon as you got up in the morning. I can tell by the response in the room that we still got some work to do. I want to train you to make sure that when you get out of bed, you go to God. When you get out of bed, you let the enemy know what's happening today. Satan, I bind you up in the name of Jesus. Every demonic force that would try to occupy my day, I cancel you now. I bind you up. Every strategy, every plan that you have crafted in my sleep, I cancel it in the name of Jesus. Everything you've launched since I've been awake, I cancel that too. Oh, and guess what? I loose angels now to war on my behalf over things that I can and cannot see. Now I can get up and brush my teeth because I've won the battle in the spirit realm. This is important for you to understand. The enemy always has one goal in mind. John 10 and 10. He wants to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And he's willing to do it by any means necessary. The problem is, a lot of times the enemy doesn't have to work so hard because we give him so much to work with. Right? A puny prayer life gives him a lot to work with. A lack of study in the word gives him a lot to work with. Because when the enemy tries to come to you, you need the scripture and the word of God to fight against him. A lack of awareness gives him a lot to work with. You remember last week with the example that was given where one person knew what the enemy was going to do, the other one didn't. So the other one walked into all of the chaos while the other one was walking through with ease. Some of us are walking through our days with a certain amount of ease because we've allowed God to direct us on the strategy of the enemy. So I want to make sure that you're sensitive on what you're warring against. Ephesians 6 and 12, and the New Living Translation says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." King James Version, because sometimes you gotta read it in KJV. Don't y'all agree? And you're not churching it right unless you go to the KJV. All right? Now, I know we do that on the basic scriptures because there are some of them that it's just, what y'all was saying in the KJV? I don't know. Right? But this one is self-explanatory. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities. And against what? Powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places." We are not wrestling against human beings. You are not wrestling against your boss. You are not wrestling against your spouse. You are not wrestling against your children. You are not wrestling against these community people, your crazy neighbors either. But you're wrestling against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in high places. And one of the things that we're doing is making sure you are prepared for battle. So in the natural, if you want to be somebody effective at fighting, all right, and you're looking at a good fighter right here. It's been a long time since I've had to utilize the skills God has given me. I'd advise nobody to try me like that, amen? But one of the things that you have to do if you want to fight well is you need to have a strategy for the fight. So part of it is knowing how to actually fight, and the other part is making sure you have the appropriate strength, right? So doing the right amount of conditioning so that you have the power for what you're going up against. Right now I'm in the gym. Some of y'all follow me on social media. Y'all been noticing I've been in the gym every day? All right. You don't have to follow me. You're going to notice in a couple of months. I told him I can't wait to wear my medium shirts. I sure. As I work for my muscles, we're going to see the triceps and the biceps, okay? All right. And I'm going to stay humble while I do it. Glory to God. But I'm going through this process of training my body to build strength and be conditioned in a more fit way, one for my health, right? So when we're trained like this spiritually, it gives us the spiritual health we need. But if I have to go to battle, I don't want to be the one getting winded after throwing the first punch. You throw one punch and like, that's how some of y'all be against the enemy. You throw your best punch and then you're all locked out of wind because you ain't got nothing else. I want to make sure that you have something to sustain you, because the enemy, even if you win one time, may leave for a season, but trust, he's coming back. And the enemy is so persistent, he'll try something every day. He's looking for whatever opening you give. It's why we have to have a new understanding of the scripture about giving no place to the devil. It's, I'm not going to let you have an opening. You're not going to get a moment of my day to win. So who are we actually fighting? Number one, I want to talk about powers. I want you to understand these three areas because I think that it's important for you to understand what you're dealing with, because your strategy has to look different based upon what you're fighting. So, just as God's kingdom has an established order, so does the enemy. And if we were looking at a picture of both heaven and hell, you will see that the enemy has structured hell a lot like heaven. Amen. Remember, the enemy is not a creator. The devil can't create nothing. So he got down there. You know, remember, the devil wanted to be God, right? So you know he got down there and said, oh, this is my turn to be God, right? I'm going to do it like this. You know how this is. You know, people get mad and they watch your whole strategy and then they leave and they try to do it the same way and it don't work the same way because they didn't have the juice. So this is what happened with the devil. He looked at God and said, I'm going to try to do this strategy, but he really didn't have the juice, right? He really didn't have the power. He really didn't have the authority. He can only mimic what he's seen, right? But if you understand powers, powers possess a certain level of authority in the spirit world, but they don't have the highest authority. So in a leadership structure, I would say powers would be like shift supervisors. They like the frontline supervisors, right? They have a measure of authority and they can direct things, but they still reporting up, right? That's what powers are. So they're usually used to direct activity against specific individuals. A lot of what you battle with on a regular basis, a power has been assigned to a group of spirits to tell them how to inflict whatever pressure they need to inflict on your life. We went through last week on how the enemy comes. So we talked about what demonic presence. So sometimes it's just you feel in the atmosphere, something's present. And then we talked about oppression. That's when the enemy actually begins to press in on you. Possession is what we go to a lot, but possession as a believer, you would have to really submit yourself to the plan of the enemy to open up yourself in that way. Now, it could happen through foolishness. Y'all know I was rebuking a lot of foolishness last week. But in Daniel 10, chapter verse 13, it says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. All right. So what we're seeing is one power against the other. We saw the enemy's power. But then his imitated power. And then we see Michael, right, the angel who comes in and has the ultimate power to come in to help. Right. So this is how the enemy works here. Here, Daniel's speaking about a battle in power. And a lot of times we don't know how to activate the angels, and we talked about this last week, activate angels properly in every one of our days. Even saying something as simple as, angels, be encamped around about me as I go throughout my day. Watch over me. Protect me. Cover my car. Cover my home. Right? When you invite angelic presence into your life, then you can avoid strategies of the enemy. And even when the enemy tries it, have you ever been? I know I have been in a wreck before that should have killed me. If you would have seen the entire situation, I recorded it on a project. I told my testimony. So like people who have that project, they know it. You know, about how I went down a ditch, up a ditch, through a barbed wire fence, and I got out with no scratch. Only about 3 people know that one. But I truly got out of that wreck with no scratch because angels were protecting me. And so we have to know how to invite the angelic presence to war against the powers that come up against us. Demonic spirits are dumb. Right? They have a way, I want assignment, but they kind of dumb. So they need a boss to say, this is what we're doing today. Right. When you're dealing with the power, you're dealing with the frontline supervisor. All right? Principalities. Principalities. Because we read these scriptures and we don't know what they actually mean, right? We just read them. Powers and principalities and rulers of dark. And if I ask you what that means, you'd be like, I don't know. I just know it's we're going against the enemy. I want some intelligent believers here. When you say you're going to love alive, I want people to say, man, you are knowledgeable of the word because you've been trained here. One of the things I said is there will never be a situation where people here are undertrained in the word. You may determine what you are ready to activate or receive, but you will definitely have knowledge. You determine when you're ready to apply it, right? Principalities are rooted in rulership of a territory, usually inherited hereditarily, right? In the spiritual world, principalities form when the enemy has gained a right through the permission or participation of individuals to occupy and rule over a territory. Even something when a lot of times when we refer to generational curses, what we're referring to is a principality that has been established in a family because somebody gave that principality a right to be around. And it's one of the reasons why we have to be careful as parents what we allow ourselves to tamper with, because what happens is you think that you're just serving your flesh and you're inviting a war into your child's life. And so to me, it's sad for my child to have to war with something that I couldn't conquer. So, principal, and some of you, it's a result of it was your mom and them that war with it. Your grandmom and them, your great grandmama. But somebody has to have the wisdom and the power and the audacity to break it. I feel an anointing to break generational curses today. Your family doesn't have to war with this for more generations. It can be over with you. We can end it now. We have the power. Principalities are also a grouping of spirits organized with specific purposes and intentions. I can tell you there is a principality over this state in the area of poverty. In the area of crime, it's in the city. And so that's one of the reasons why you should want righteous people to be in authority. The Bible says when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But you better believe when the righteous get in authority, there's also principality that's still warring. And sometimes we don't know how to get together as believers and begin the war. We got to take over the principality in this area. And there are multiple ways to take over the principalities. There's the prayer component and there's the working component. Faith without works is dead. So sometimes you pray, but then you got to be careful to hear God about what you can actually do to affect the long-term change. And it's not all going to happen just in the four walls of this church. Principalities. They are believed to be fallen angels with Lucifer and maintain a higher authority than ordinary demonic spirits. They have the highest ranking order in the spiritual world next to Satan. They are considered generals. They're considered generals. When you deal with principalities, they're the big boss sitting back saying, this is what we're going to do today. A lot of times they're working with multiple powers who are working with multiple spirits to take over a territory. And you'll begin to see, you know, if you look, even some of the things that we've struggled with in the southern states, right, as opposed to northern states, as it relates to economic development, as it relates to issues of racism, as it relates to poverty, a lot of those things have to do with the forefathers who allowed themselves to be subjected to a mindset for too long and the principality established in a territory. And for a principality to be broken, it's going to take a people of God who are willing to be knowledgeable and willing to war against the enemy. It will not happen unless we do it. So in the natural, we see certain territories struggle with higher proportions of specific activity. Whether it's poverty, sexual perversion, infirmity, it is a reflection of an established principality. Now, I will tell you this about principalities, all right? Taking the territory back is not a war that's won easily. So without the empowerment and complete submission to the Holy Spirit and God-given strategies. Can I be honest with you today? A lot of times the reason why we cannot win battles against principalities is because we're too lazy. Mm-hmm. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor. That's you too. But the truth is, we're too lazy. Because the battle takes a certain amount of exertion of energy. And you have to do something in battle. And so a lot of times we don't want to do anything. We don't want to pray. We want somebody else to pray for us. We don't want to read the word. We just want to get it at church on Sundays. I got my little fix for the week. And so if we're not willing to do something, then we're not going to. And then believers love congregating and don't like to get out and do nothing. Chaos breaking out in the city. We gonna hold a prayer meeting. We coming together and worship. Absolutely. Let's get empowered and then get out of this church and go do something. You can't just sit aside and casually let the enemy rule your life, rule your city, rule your family, rule your state. You must do something. Jeremiah 13, verses 15 through 18, it says, "Hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he calls darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while ye look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Say unto the king and to the queen, humble yourselves, sit down, for your principalities shall come down, even the crown of your glory." This is the level of boldness and audacity that we have to have as a believer. You say, your principalities shall come down. And I believe that even when God assigns a voice to an area or voices to a region, God assigns it based upon the principalities that exist so that a people of God can be built up to do something about the strategy of the enemy. I don't think that it's an accident that God called us to this city to do work here, to do it the way that he's called us to do it here, because I believe God has given us something by way of ability, by way of anointing, by way of strategy that will undo and uproot the principalities that have been existing here. Now I'm going to do something, because I have a continuation to this word. I've never stopped in the middle of a message and say we're going to come back next week. But we're going to come back next week to this next part, because I want to break down for you every demonic spirit and manifestation that exists, and I don't want to rush through it. I want to spend a whole message making sure you know each demonic force you're dealing with, because a lot of times the things that you're praying against and you're calling a spirit is not an actual spirit. It's a manifestation of a spirit. And because you don't know the actual spirit, it's laughing at you, saying, "I ain't got to go nowhere. You don't even know my name." You calling out what? That don't even exist. That is funny. Spirit of sleepiness, huh? You know, in the black church, we just make everything a spirit. I call out that spirit of high blood pressure, the spirit of diabetes. That is not a spirit. But infirmity is a spirit and manifests in multiple different ways. So when I bind the enemy up, I need to know what I'm binding up. I need to understand when I see certain symptoms, then I know, oh, this is what we're dealing with today. Let's go to battle, spirit of infirmity. You want a war? Let's go. Even when I taught this on last year, I had to rush through that part. I'm not rushing through it this year. We're going to take time. Can we take time with it? Can you be at church next week? Because you need to know. I don't want you to be ignorant out there talking to the devil and don't even know how. I come up against the spirit of eating too much cornbread. Some of the stuff I hear, I just be like, help him, Lord. I take great, when I tell you, I have a strong interest and have since I was a child in deliverance. Since I was 12, just a strong interest in it. I'm not afraid of the enemy, right? All right, because I think too often we're afraid of the enemy. If the enemy manifests and you see, a demonic spirit manifests, it's like, oh, Lord, I got to be spooked out for what? Who are you with your crazy little self? Let's deal with it. And that's the level of authority I want you to have. That when the enemy begin to manifest, you're not afraid. You're empowered because you understand what you're dealing with, how to deal with it, right? Some of y'all gonna watch a scary movie and actually go to sleep. You'll get that later. Steady your feet all over this place.